I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights, make it spicy. My margaritas, make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Bird Show.
Not all heroes wear capes. This grandmother is a hero to all mothers out there. More Than Grand posted a video on TikTok. The caption says, "Grandmothers, it's time to shift the focus from you to the mothers of your grandchildren. Take this opportunity to celebrate them, the moms who are deep in the work of motherhood. This Mother's Day, show them how much you appreciate the work they are doing to raise your grandchildren."
It's almost Mother's Day in some parts of the world. Time for family brunches and honoring the mothers in our lives. It's also time for my annual reminder to grandmothers to shift the focus from you to your daughters and daughters-in-law who are mothers. Instead of expecting the family to gather to honor you, it's time to make the day about the next generation of mothers. Send them a card or a gift, or even just a text telling them how much you appreciate the work they're doing as they raise your grandchildren. Positive affirmations like these are the building blocks of a healthy relationship, and the relationship you have with the mother of your grandchildren is one of the most important in your life. As for that big family brunch, plan it to celebrate your birthday or hold it on Saturday so that the other mothers in the family can have the Mother's Day celebration they want.
Dude, slow clap for More Than Grand.
Oh, Cassie, look at Cat. Cassie doesn't look like she likes. No, look at Cassie. Does not like it.
Go, 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 go.
What's your beef here with Grandma?
If it works for your family, that's wonderful.
All right, Janelle needs some help here. Good morning, Janelle. You are on the Bird Show. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Thank you so much again. I have a real problem. So I'm graduating from grad school next Thursday.
Congrats.
So excited. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Where are you graduating? And where are you graduating from?
University of Georgia.
Okay.
So excited. Worked so hard, literally. And I mean, when my brother, I have a brother, when he graduated from grad school, got his master's, my family was excited, gave him this big, huge party. I think everybody in our family came and showed up to celebrate him. So naturally, I'm thinking, oh, for sure, they're going to do the same thing for me. Next Saturday, I'm going to get a huge celebration. We're all going to celebrate the hard work I put in. And I find out instead that my sister-in-law, well, she's turning 30, my brother's wife, and Saturday is her actual birthday. It's her birthday, and my brother just literally put this into my head. It's her birthday. We're not going to do anything but celebrate her. And I'm like, what? Like, wait a minute. So you're telling me that I'm not going to get a celebration? The family never planned anything for me? And apparently, no, everybody's coming out to celebrate her 30th birthday on that Saturday. And I spoke to my parents about it. They said that pretty much the only thing they had planned for me was just to go to lunch after my ceremony. And I'm like, that's okay. But what about what you did for my brother? Is my accomplishment not important enough too? I even offered him, I said, well, can we make it a combination? Can I split the day? Can we celebrate her birthday and then also celebrate my graduation? He's like, nope, she's turning the big 3-0. She's 30. Like, this is a big deal. You know, this is, she didn't have to share her day. I'm like, okay, wow. So I'm graduating grad school and my family thinks it's more important just to celebrate someone just existing. Like, okay, existing for 30 years. That's great. You know, awesome blessings to her, but come on.
I don't feel you're sincere about those blessings. Yeah.
Ooh, you were breathing. Ooh.
That did not come from the heart, Janelle. So I'm the back.
At this point, I don't even think I'm going to the party. I don't even think I want to go celebrate her. Like, what should I do?
All right, let's let these guys debate this. Everybody in here has siblings and has probably felt what you're feeling. So you guys take this one over.
Oh my God, I'm so enraged for you. This would send me into such a tizzy, feeling like there was such an unequal amount of support for the same accomplishment with my sibling. So I'm going to take a deep breath because I'm trying not to get too worked up. But what I would do if I were you is, if no one's going to throw you the party, you've got to throw the party yourself. And maybe you arrange it so that you can drop by the sister-in-law's birthday party so you don't look like a total a-hole, because then that'll become a whole thing if you just don't go, because then they'll be like, oh my God, she doesn't care about her birthday. She only wants to celebrate herself. So you arrange it to where you can drop by, say congratulations on breathing, and then you go and you throw yourself your own party with your close friends and any family that wants to show up. And then if, you know, if no one wants to celebrate you, you've got to celebrate yourself.
I'm curious if both of us being older sisters and having younger brothers, was your brother's accomplishments more celebrated than yours? You want me to answer first?
You can answer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, so,
they're men and you're women.
Exactly. So it's a bigger deal. I will say it wasn't necessarily his accomplishments that were more celebrated. I think it was maybe more the small moments growing up where I felt like maybe it was more of like a buildup. Like, I always felt like he got more of the benefit of the doubt. He was cut some more slack. And I don't know if that's a gender thing.
I feel like it was expected of me.
Yes.
Like, so it's like, oh, you did good. Well, we expected you to do that. He did good. It was like, oh my God, puppy! Come here, come mama, come rub you in her bosom and love you so hard.
Caitlin here has an interesting idea here, Janelle. You might be working yourself up over nothing. Caitlin, good morning. You are on the Burt Show.
Good morning. I'm wondering, because they threw such a big celebration for brother, maybe they're planning to surprise her for her graduation and just spinning it as a birthday party for the sister-in-law.
Janelle, could that be a possibility?
I mean, I don't know. It'd be nice. The only thing they offered was for me to have a party the week after, but my family's not going to come 2 weeks in a row to town. Like, get real.
Yeah, I'm shooting down the surprise theory down, because what's going to happen is now you're going to use that as a coping mechanism to be like, oh, well, they're just going to surprise me. And then you're going to show up to the sister-in-law's birthday party and realize it wasn't a surprise. And then it's going to hurt twice as bad.
I'm going to be honest. This triggering for me, and I feel for you. And if I were in your situation, I would celebrate myself. I grew up in a family dynamic where I understand what you're going through. I mean, I had two sisters who had their biological parents in the home. I did not. I was the oldest. I was the only guy. They were the two women, obviously. So I felt like I was celebrated a lot differently than they were a lot of my life. And for that reason, I learned that sometime you just got to celebrate yourself. So I would go where I'm loved and supported, and I would have the people there who give me that same energy, and it would just have to be what it is.
Hey, Janelle, let me double down on what Mo is saying right here. I didn't know where this was going this morning, but let me do this. We will take $1,000 out of the Burt Show budget if you throw yourself a party with all your friends.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
All right, so go ahead and celebrate yourself. You can't control everybody else in the family, what they're going to do. So I think these guys are spot on. If they're not going to celebrate you, you celebrate you, and you shouldn't have to spend money on that. So we got you, okay?
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Thank you.
Well, congratulations.
Congrats, Janelle.
Yeah, and you do got to give us a call back. Like, if that was a surprise party, and you also owe me the $1,000 back also. If you throw you a surprise party, I want that cash back.
Now, let her spend it on family therapy.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
This is Exhibit A as to why TikTok shouldn't be banned, because otherwise I would never know what was going on in South Korea with these women wanting to give up men. I got to fill you in on what they're calling the 4B movement. But before I can get into that, I got my global correspondent, Jackson Kim, in here.
A resident Korean correspondent.
I was wondering what he was doing.
That's why you're in here.
Yes.
Jackson, fill him in. What's going on in South Korea?
Wait, do you want to go to another room and like this is news and she's throwing it to you in South Korea?
Make sure there's a little bit of a delay. Like you're waiting for.
Yeah. Thank you, Abby.
Oh, thank you, Abby. Yeah, I appreciate it. So this is honestly super interesting because I had no idea about this until Abby brought it up to me. And basically, this movement is women who are completely swearing off men. It's an active rebellion against the patriarchy. And in Korea, it's still largely a very patriarchal society. And so a lot of times women feel second class. There's a lot more pandering that is done to men than it is, you know, definitely over here. And so there's this movement that I think's been going on since around 2019, from what I've read, where these women are completely swearing off marriage. They're swearing off sex. They're swearing off everything to do with it.
Yeah, so it's called the 4B movement, and it's called 4B because it has to do with four words that, again, all start with the letter B, that stand for the refusal of heterosexual marriage, the refusal of childbirth, saying no to dating, and the rejection of heterosexual sexual relationships.
So explain this to me again. Why absolutely, like, going cold turkey? Like, why is it so bad?
I think that there's this subset of women, and I don't think it's like this insanely massive movement, but it's getting legs as it's going more and more viral
that
online.
That aren't spreading.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you.
That was good.
You're back in the Gracie game.
I think that they're fed up at a point where instead of just, you know, kind of silently quiet quitting, it's now just this outright refusal and rejection of the entire thing. I think they're just upset with the way that, you know, the society has run over there, and they're trying to make a stance by completely refusing all of this.
They're protesting, and they're using the one weapon they know that will get straight men to listen to them, and that's keeping their legs closed. So now people are hearing about this all over TikTok because obviously people were talking about what was going on over there, and now women across the world are like, wait a second, that sounds like a really good idea.
I am glad the government is trying to get rid of TikTok. Ban it.
Now I'm for the ban.
Oh, now you're in.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. All right, well, keeping in the theme of our international e-buzz, let's talk about Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, because now they have expanded their soccer club, not just the one they've got in Wales, but they are investing in a soccer club in Mexico called Necaxa. It's a prestigious Mexican soccer club, and Eva Longoria is also investing in this, and it looks like they may even do a potential docuseries like they did with Wrexham called Welcome to Wrexham to launch this whole club again.
Well, wouldn't Wrexham fans be mad? Like, aren't they supposed to be, like, focused on Wrexham and not another soccer club?
I don't know how they'd feel. I don't know how you could recreate this. I don't know much about this Mexican club here, but I think it's a pretty popular club. The beauty about Wrexham was that, man, I mean, nobody was paying attention to that club at all. The stadium was basically falling. It was falling to the ground. It was the right team in the right city at the right time, and they've done an amazing job with it. Actually, they've increased by two leagues, and the goal is to get to the English Premier League, and the story is so unique that to try to do that again, I don't know if it's the same situation. I don't know if they're going to be as hands-on, but good for the team, but I just don't see it having the same kind of success.
It does feel like it'll be like catching lightning in a bottle, because, and I'll relate this to the women folk who will understand this, it's sort of like when Southern Charm from Bravo tried to do the same thing that they did in Charleston and Savannah. Like, you're catching lightning in a bottle. You need a specific cast and a specific set of circumstances to make a series really successful. So it's kind of like trying to launch a new Real Housewives franchise in a city where it's not necessarily going to work. So we'll have to keep tabs on it. Okay, there was a wild fight at a concert where this rapper named Stunna Girl got completely groped and felt up, and then there was a fight broken out.
Dude will not do this again. I saw that video.
Yeah.
She was up on stage, got her butt grabbed by some dude in the audience, and her husband actually went up to this guy and kind of got in his face, and he didn't hit him until the guy that had grabbed her butt started to get a little feisty with her or with him, and all of a sudden they're on the floor wrestling.
And then she comes over and she starts kicking.
But
what he did to her on stage, the fact that he laid hands on her and smacked her ass the way he did on stage, I totally understand her man jumping down there and being what do you think you're doing, touching.
You do that in front of her husband and her husband's security.
Mm-hmm.
You earned it.
Yeah, I know the PC thing to say is I'll never condone violence, and I don't. But look, if you're going to put your hands on a woman that's on stage and grab her ass like that, expect to get your ass kicked.
100%. All right, Jerry Seinfeld says he knows why new sitcoms are not getting picked up, and it's all got to do with politics. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
It's The Burt Show.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It doesn't sit right with my soul. That's kind of been a fun theme we've been playing with on The Burt Show lately, where you're getting something off your chest that's just not sitting right with you. Like when I threw a sick burn at Abby and then immediately felt bad, and she did the same thing to Kristen and also felt bad right away. Now, we're all good and that was all in good fun, but sometimes you're not quite ready to confront your problems head on and you need someone to talk to. And while we love talking to you guys about your drama, sometimes it's above our pay grade and you need a professional to give you advice. I've been to therapy, and there's something so freeing about unloading your problems on a therapist that has your back and you know is there to help you. And that's where BetterHelp comes in. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BurtShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BurtShow.
The Burt Show.
Terrified Mo with a potential assignment for him today for tomorrow's show. Never seen the dude so scared before. If you missed that earlier this morning, hey, you're listening to The Burt Show live late. You can always get caught up on our podcast. We upload it segment by segment, or you can listen to the whole show. Just look for The Burt Show on any podcasting platform.
Hey, guys, guess what? Tomorrow,
it's gonna be me.
Yeah!
There it is. Why don't I ever see that coming? Yeah. Every year.
Why?
Little things in life.
Hey, Tommy. Tomorrow
it's gonna be me.
Hey, you can only use it today, so kill it. Just use it over and over and over.
Every break now, we're gonna open it up with that, okay? So I got in this kick this past weekend, because I didn't have anything on the schedule. So I'm like, you know what? If I have a free weekend, I'm going to get some S done around the house, right? So there's a couple of closets and drawers that I need to clean out. So there was one closet in particular that was driving me crazy. This room is like the catch-all room. Like everything just goes into this room on top of this bed, and it becomes like a storage room instead of actual functional room. And I'm like, we're going to purge some stuff. We're going to donate some items, and I'm going to organize this closet. I went on Amazon and I bought these cute little organizational cubbies that I'm going to put into the closet. It's going to look so cute, and everything's going to be organized. It's going to be amazing. And so I'm doing this, And I, of course, you have to empty everything out of the closet so you can clean the shelves. And then you start going through stuff as you're going to put it back in. And there were several items in here that I can't, like, I couldn't let go.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know, like, what random item that has no, like, you can't use it. It's not usable, mm-hmm. but you can't get rid of it. 1-855-BIRCHOW, 855-237-8746. Because as I was going through stuff, this is also the closet that has a lot of my dad's old things in it, right? And so I have all his old cassettes, all his old CDs, mm-hmm. not getting rid of any of those. But I took something out of one of the cubbies, and it was what had all his, it's like a watch case, right? And so he had all of his wristwatches in there. But the case itself, like, it looks nice, but it's like, it's not like the wood, like it's very nice. And then you open it, but all the inside is like flaking off or whatever. Like if you touch it, it comes off on your hands. Like it's like the pleather or whatever that's inside of it. And so it's not usable. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to donate it to Goodwill.
Yeah.
And I walked out into the kitchen to where I had my donation pile, and I set it down, and I turned to walk away, and I was like, no. Yep. And I went back, and I picked it up, and I put it back in the closet, even though never going to use it. Now, the shoe inserts, because he has these giant, my dad had these giant wooden things that you put inside of really nice shoes to keep, like, the form or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
I donated those to Goodwill. I'm like, those I can let go. But that thing that held his wristwatches, even though it's not usable, I'm mm-hmm. like... It's got to stay in the closet.
It's still like part of him.
We're gonna go ahead and purge this stuff. And I set it down on that kitchen counter and started to walk away and immediately turned around, grabbed it, and put it right back into the bedroom.
Good morning, Kim. You were on the Burt Show. The item you're not even using, haven't used it in years. You just can't throw it away ever.
I have a little doll that I received when I was a child. It's a Dawn doll. It's only about 6 inches, and it's just a little doll that sits on my dresser for me to look at.
And you just can't get rid of that thing. I think I've told you guys before, and I can never remember the name of this, but I attach, like, human emotions to objects, inanimate objects, right? So I feel like I can't throw things out because I feel like I'm going to hurt their feelings. It's the same thing when I'm packing for a vacation. I can hear all the t-shirts going, hey, take me. For me, it's trucker hats. Somebody told me last week that they have a rule in their house that if a hat comes in, one has to go. And I'm like, that's great. So I ordered 3 hats this week. And I can't let 3 go.
It's
impossible. They speak to me like, oh, we've had so much great times together. You wore me during the softball tournament. Remember when we got drunk in this trucker hat? And I just can't throw away those memories that are attached to it.
I've never had this problem. Maybe if I had something that was attached to someone I loved and lost, I would probably have that issue. But for things that I have owned myself, I've never had a problem throwing things away.
Oh, my God. And then you have a kid. And as a mom, like, there's certain things that you just can't, like, I have a closet. The top of the closet is full of clothes, newborn clothes, 0 to 3 months, 3 to 6 months, certain outfits, shoes that I can't get rid of.
Oh, girl, I can't wait. Even if I'm like, Max won't fit in these in a month. Bye.
Same. Let it fly.
Yeah.
Here's Gabby. Gabby, the item that you just can't get rid of.
My husband will not get rid of an old microwave.
An old microwave?
Does it even work?
It does not work. It's so small. And we have 4 kids. They would torture the microwave. But he bought it at a time where he got over his last divorce, and it was like the first item that he bought for his apartment. And he's just so proud of that moment. But he won't get rid of the microwave. So it's now in our basement, and we don't use it. It doesn't go with the decor. It just doesn't fit. I understand, but it's in the basement.
Yeah, because they're attached to memories and times in your life. You have any like that?
They're like time capsules because they were there during a specific moment. And when you look back on photos, that item was there. So when you throw out that item, it feels like you're throwing away a piece of that moment in your life.
The Burt Show.
It has been cleared by all essential personnel. And tomorrow morning at this time, I will be trying to set up my ex-wife with a good man. On the air. Okay. Date My Ex-Wife starts tomorrow.
I can't believe it's happening. I'm so excited. And to think those people party that tried to poo-poo what could potentially be the greatest idea ever.
Those people don't count. It's right in here. We know what's good content. We know what's fun. So to reset this real quick, I was having a conversation with my ex-wife at our son's soccer match a couple of weeks ago, and she's dabbling in online dating now, and she just hasn't been real happy with it. It haven't been creepers or anything like that. She hasn't had bad experiences, but my ex-wife has got a little mojo to her. She's spirited.
She's feisty.
She's feisty. She's young at heart. So guys that she has been interested in that are her age, quite frankly, don't give her the juju. The juju. All right? She doesn't, you know.
They're a little slower speed.
A little slower speed. So I was listening to some of her stories, and I suggested, like, you know what would be really fun? What do you think about you coming on and then me picking out a date for you on the show? I think it'd be really fun. And she was down for it. But my friends were like, this is just going to be a terrible, terrible idea. Just don't do this. It's going to be so awkward for your kids. So we did ask the kids first, and we got their approval. Hayden didn't quite understand it, but I explained it to him this weekend. And Hollis, who is 16, I think he's just like,
whatever.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Really?
He was more nervous about it than Hayden was,
really?
For sure. Yeah, he's 16 years old, you know, don't embarrass me kind of thing, you know? So I went to talk to him about it last night, and Stacey had hit him up first, so he signed off on it. So tomorrow, yeah, she's going to come in here. We have written a bio for her. She's going to come in here. We will talk about dating. And then if there are any guys listening or anybody listening that knows a guy that you think fits the description of a dude that she is looking for, you'll go online, you'll give me the lead. And then if the dude is interested, I'm going to weed through them and then I will pick her date.
Feel free to tell me if this is the worst idea ever.
I think we're past that.
We're in too deep. But I love a good competition. What if you pick a suitor and her sons also pick a suitor and see who knows Stace better? Like you could have Hayden choose somebody, Hollis choose somebody, and you choose somebody.
Huh. Got to make it competitive.
I mean, right?
Yeah, got to.
Let me think about this.
But I don't know. I don't know how involved you want the kids. Because it might be weird. I know it might be weird to set your mom up with somebody.
Yeah, I don't know how they would react. Let me chew on it.
Okay. But I just love the idea of like seeing who actually can be a better matchmaker for Stacey, you or her boys.
That would be an interesting question. Okay, let me chew on it.
Yeah,
let me chew on it.
Let's not sell past yes, okay?
But she's coming in here tomorrow morning.
Perfect.
And we'll do the interview. We'll talk to her about it, and we'll see. She's probably feeling the same kind of things. Just different age than you are.
Yeah, I mean, it's brutal no matter what the age is, so I'm happy that somebody else is going to get to suffer publicly. Stacey, we're in this together, just different age groups.
All right, moving on to another friend I have. You guys, tell me if he is totally out of line on this one, and maybe if the woman that he's dating was calling in, this would be either like a ditch or date type thing. So my friend out in California is crazy good looking. Just crazy good looking, legitimate model good looking. He's a model, okay? And a well-paid model as well. He gets jobs left and right. He's one of these dudes that travels. They pay for his first class travel all around the country, all around the world. That's how good looking this dude is.
Yeah, must suck to be so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a world I don't live in. So he started dating a woman about 6 weeks ago that he's interested in. 6 weeks. 6 weeks.
Okay.
They see each other once, twice a week. And she caught him the other night, I guess when they were in downtime. I'm not exactly sure how this all went down. But at the end of the day, he was on Instagram and he gets hit on Instagram all the time. On all of his social media, in fact, all the time. So, she either caught him or asked him when she saw him taking pictures and putting them in a folder on his phone. I wouldn't even know how you would do that. So she calls him out on it. She's like, what are you doing? And he gets a little bit on the sheepish side, a little embarrassed, and said, I'm not going to answer these women now, but if things don't work out between you and I don't want, like, to forget who...
Like, oh, my God. I get it. He's taking screen captures of these messages and these women and then putting them in a special folder in his photo album so he can reference them back in case he and this person he's dating doesn't pan out.
Yes. Okay, now he's not answering these women in any way, shape, or form.
Oh,
jeez. He's just going through the profile and going, oh, she's kind of hot. And then snapshots it, I guess, and puts it into a folder.
His backups. These are his backups. Yeah.
Now, this relationship's only 6 weeks old. I don't even think they've had the conversation like, we're dating exclusively yet. So he's put him in a folder, and she's like very pissed because she feels like he's already got 1 foot out the door. Like, he's sort of building a backup plan already, like you say. While he's in a relationship.
She should be pissed.
Yeah. Should she?
Yes.
100%.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where I feel like technically he's not violating, but if you have self-worth, you will feel violated.
Mm-hmm.
That's how. So I think she's in the right. Because if I reverse the roles, I would understand how we only 6 weeks in, but you can't have a bitch for just in case I don't work out. Like, no.
She got rocked up.
Yeah, she's still in there, but she was really, really pissed.
I'd want to see the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do I compare against, you know, the backup team? How do I compare against JV?
The Burt Show.
Are you prepared to never eat fast food? Ever again. Ever again.
Just in time for summer.
Yay! There is a lot of poorly behaved customers and a lot of disgusting workers at fast food restaurants. So today I bring you the dark side of fast food. I've scoured the corners of the internet. Courtesy of BuzzFeed, Cosmo, and Reddit, I compiled a list of the most gag-inducing stories about fast food.
I've told you guys before, I worked at the Bell, and I'm proud of it. I was a 4-year letterman. I had the letterman jacket and everything. Mm-hmm. I will give you this advice, as I've said before. Do not piss off the employees of fast food before you get your food. Pluck and drop was a thing back in the day at the Bell. So a lot of you guys... You had no idea what was in there.
And I used to work at McDonald's, and I will give the same exact advice because my man Oscar had no problems dropping your burger on the floor and picking it back up, putting it in your bread.
All right, our first story. There was a lot of those, by the way.
Oh, no doubt.
And a lot of customers throwing drinks on people, which y'all need to stop, because even if they get soaked, the manager still expected all the employees to work their entire shift.
Well, yeah.
What? It was so bizarre. Mm. All right, your first story. Worked at blank when I was a teen. Guy who worked the grill was a self-styled vampire. Our patties were fresh, not frozen. This guy would cut open the sleeves that the beef was shipped in and then guzzle the blood that accumulated in them.
No.
What? Wait a second.
Come on, fam.
TiVo, old school TiVo sound effect. What?
So this dude that identified as a vampire would cut open the beef, get the beef out, and then all that gunky juice that's in there would guzzle it. The beef, the raw beef juice.
Oh, I want to party with that guy.
First of all, did he work in the daytime?
No, if he was night.
Your next story, dark side of fast food. When being trained on how to make waffle batter and put it in a machine, I saw a coworker's Band-Aid fall into the mix.
No.
She picked it out and continued as nothing had happened.
No.
I'm
going
to throw up.
There could be nothing worse than that. Like, if I presented you, would you rather have a couple of hairs, long head hairs in your food, or a Band-Aid? What are you taking?
Head hairs.
Head hair. All day.
For sure. Hearing aid might be the only other one that would be the worst.
My mom used to work at a fried chicken joint, and one day there was a rude customer at the drive-thru. Heed this warning, if you're rude in the drive-thru. She saw her manager put the chicken on the floor, use a dirty mop to drag it around the floor
before putting it back in the box and serving it to the customer. That manager got fired.
Damn.
Wow.
I'm nauseous.
See, you could do these things back in the day, but now with security cameras, you're going to get fired immediately.
Dark side of fast food. Naked people while delivering pizza. Sounds sexy in the pornos. Tends to be horrifying in real life. That was one story. And then I found another one that said, I delivered a pizza to a 40-year-old naked redneck man in an apartment complex's jacuzzi. His young son was there at 11 p.m.
Whoa.
Not the kind of naked encounters I was promised when I took the job.
All right. That'll be my last day.
I worked at blank. One day, one of my acrylic nails fell off into the chip fryer. I told my manager to panic, but she said, oh, it probably just melted already. Don't worry about it. I quit a little while after that and certainly never ate blank again. A Florida man threw a 3.5-foot alligator through a blank's drive-through window as a joke.
Shut up.
But no one's laughing. The incident occurred in October, but Joshua James, 23, was taken into custody by U.S. Marshals and is accused of assault with a deadly weapon, illegally capturing an alligator and charged with petit larceny. Officials say the gator was inside the restaurant and was later released in a nearby canal.
Damn. So this guy's got to sit in a jail cell with hardened criminals and confess what he did. Threw an alligator through a drive-through.
Go Gators. A woman ordered her coffee at 140 degrees in the drive-thru. She walks back in the cafe after pulling out and complains that her coffee was 139 degrees because she had a thermometer in her car and she demanded that it be remade. I laughed at her and asked if she was joking and she demanded to see my manager. All right, here we go. Your last one for this round.
All right.
Oh, man.
The dark side of fast food. My then boyfriend, now husband, was attempting to fix the Frosty machine because it wasn't spinning properly. Dummy sticks his fingers up the dispenser, and the thing starts spinning again.
No.
Chopped off the tip of his finger.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Y'all Yikes. Just expect me to be able to do this. I'm going to throw up. I'm going to vomit in the middle of this break.
I have saved the best for bonus.
Okay.
Because it's bodily fluids that we cannot talk about the big show.
Can't wait.
Uh-huh. I'm disgusted. Anyway, on to entertainment buzz, because Jerry Seinfeld is mad at the quote-unquote extreme left for ruining comedy. He says that no sitcoms got picked up in the fall because everyone's so afraid of offending other people.
It used to be you would go home at the end of the day, most people would go, oh, Cheers is on, oh, MASH is on, oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on, All in the Family's on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. When you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke. Well, that's the end of your comedy.
Yeah, I don't entirely disagree with them, but there's plenty of good shows out there that are very funny. You love Abbott Elementary.
I do. Abbott Elementary is a fantastic show that's very funny.
In fact, I think there's probably, with all the different platforms, way more comedy shows now than there used to be back in the day. But I do think that the line has changed. And I know from just doing what we do, the PC-ness of it all, it's kind of maddening sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I did see some. I didn't watch Seinfeld because it was a little bit before my time. But I have seen some clips on TikTok. And I will say some of those jokes, if they went out today, they'd be canceled so fast. Sure. He did say that the one part of comedy he feels like he has a lot of hope in is stand-up, because when it comes to, you know, having five or six people look at a joke and clean it up a little bit too much, it becomes boring after that, because then it's too politically correct. But when you have stand-up, the audience can kind of tell you where the line is, and then you can be like, okay, that was too far. Britney Spears, this is a little concerning. Apparently, there are sources from Britney Spears' camp that says she is going off the rails. She's in danger of going broke because apparently she's spending too much. And a mental health expert thinks that she should be under another conservatorship and be forced to take medication. This is very concerning. So these sources say that she's doing worse worse than ever. She's completely dysfunctional, having radical mood changes. And even though she had $60 million when the conservatorship ended, apparently she's spending it on like very lavish vacations that they're like, this money's going to run out at some point.
None of this is surprising to me. I don't think it should be surprising to anybody that she had been controlled for so long. Dad was taking care of things. So now that she doesn't have somebody looking over her shoulder, she was never learned the value of money and how to spend and stuff like that. And I'm still maintaining, even though Cassie doesn't agree with me and I don't know the details as well as she does, that it seems to me like Dad went too far and took advantage of the situation. But I think his silence is golden here in that I think that he was at the end of the day trying to protect her from herself. And won't come out and say that because a parent, a good parent, would not say that publicly. Now, you have pointed out he took it too far and probably took advantage of the situation, maybe even ripped her off for some cash.
And I think if you've, again, going into this, knowing that it's one side of the story, read Brittany's bio, and I had heard this before, too, of his alleged alcoholism all throughout her childhood and all the other drama and trauma. And I'm pretty sure there was just a court case between them and Brittany that just ended and she wasn't happy about it. So that happened. And then all of a sudden this news comes out. I don't read into some random like mental health expert saying this. It makes me feel like it's a slander against her. However, I did have to stop following her because some of her, it felt invasive almost. Even though she's choosing to put herself out there, I felt like at that point I was complicit in something. It went from being like, of course she's going to act out. She's been under lock and key forever. She was only allowed like a couple hundred bucks of allowance to spend. Of course she's going to go wild. And then it became too much. And I was like, all right, I think the pendulum has swung too far in the other direction, in my personal non-medical opinion. And I don't feel comfortable watching this unfold anymore because this is clearly someone's personal trauma that's playing out in a public sphere, even though she's choosing to put it there.
Yeah, I, as somebody who still follows her and seeing her post, they're concerning. I mean, mainly because the captions are just so nonsensical. And trying to understand what she's trying to get across.
Yeah, you can see her post for just 2 days and know that that's not a mentally healthy person. That's not news. You can see that playing out in front of you every single day.
So is it just the captions that you find concerning, or is she posting like those weird dance videos that I know she's really fond of?
No, I mean, it's a lot of the dance videos. And it's not even the dances. It's just, man, it's hard to put your finger on it, but you know how you just kind of like get a gut instinct or a feeling about something and you're like, this person is obviously going through something and I don't think they have the proper people around them to help them get through it. Huh.
It's just a tragedy all the way around. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Those words a few years ago really pissed me off, and now I'm really, really angry because it turns out he's right. Okay. So I remember working out consistently at my gym, and one day after working out, I'm sitting outside of the gym before I get to my car, and when you go to a gym, you see the same people over and over and over again if you end up working out at the same time. Well, it just so happened that this tennis pro that either was teaching lessons or playing tennis with other guests in the club. I know him well. We've said hi to each other a couple of different times. I mean, and he's like your very typical European tennis pro. You know, you could tell he's out in the sun every single day. He's got kind of like that long tennis pro hair, right? He's thin and he's fit and he's wearing the headband also. He's typical, right? So I'm sitting there, and he says to me on the way out, he's like, hey, Bert. I'm like, hey, whatever your name is from Europe.
Sven. Hey, Sven.
Okay, Sven. and he goes, man, I see you working out so hard every day. And I'm like, thank you, man. He's like, it's not going to do you any good.
I see you wasting your time in here every day.
That's what he said. So what are you talking about? He's like, man, I worked out every single day, played tennis all the time. A couple of years ago, I got cancer. Nothing to do with you being in the gym here and busting your ass. It's not going to do you any good. Your genetics are playing against you, man. And I'm like, Sven, get the F out of here.
What an odd thing to say at somebody.
From a tennis pro.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't know much about this dude. I don't know if that's his personality. I don't know if he thought that he was doing me a favor by telling me that. But I'm like, that is the strangest thing I mean, because you're at a gym and you think people are going to be preaching health and fitness, right? This guy's like not going to do you any good, dude.
Didn't the same thing happen to Bob Harper? He was the personal trainer from The Biggest Loser.
Oh, yeah.
And like worked out all the time and had a heart attack.
That's right. Mm. My divorce attorney, fittest guy you'd ever see in your life, was on his bike all the time. Nicest guy ever. Gets on his bike one day for just a real chill ride right on the Beltline. Something nice and flat, too. Right over, has a heart attack, passes away.
Oh, my God. Well, this is a fun break. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Here's why. Because my tennis instructor, not mine because I don't play tennis, but he was right. And I'm pissed at my family tree. Because you guys know health is my hobby. My health is my hobby. I am such a geek. I am such a nerd when it comes to this kind of thing. I've got all sorts of gadgets. I've got watches. I've got heart monitors, right? This week I got this glucose monitor on my back, and I'm checking out like my glucose levels, and I love it. And I'm trying to get my heart right and my sugar right, and I'm doing everything right. I'm working out almost every single day, and now I'm getting the right recovery every single day. And I realize now over the course of the last couple of weeks, everything that's wrong with me that I am trying to correct is genetics. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. I've got diabetes on both sides of my family. Outside of Crumble, I am very good at my sugar intake. I take it very, very seriously, right? I'm pre-diabetic, and I've been pre-diabetic for 25 years. You look at me, you would never, ever think that, right? I do cardio every single day. I eat clean. I eat fish. I eat vegetables. I don't eat a lot of steak or fatty foods. No fried foods and stuff like that. My cholesterol level for 25 years has been bad, and I've been on statins for 25 years. And I'm doing all of this stuff, right?
That's why they always ask for your family history whenever you go to the doctor.
You're screwed. You're screwed. So here's the one that's really embarrassing and the one that I am just going to like vomit and tell you about now. I got to go in for a second hip replacement.
Oh, no.
It's okay, Grandpa.
Oh, kick a man when he's down.
He can't kick back as a hip.
He ain't tell us but 5 seconds ago.
You better watch out, Abby, or else he's also going to go in for a co-host replacement.
There is no such thing as too soon on this show.
I see.
So your
hips have been lying all this time. Oh. I'm so
the left
sorry.
One, yeah. Hey. So Kristen was with me walking through an airport one time, and she noticed how much I was struggling to get through that airport. You remember this, right?
Yes, you were just hobbling.
Was this the same trip that you couldn't even get through the airport? You were so hungover?
Yes, I almost threw up.
threw up in security.
We were quite the duo that trip in New York, man.
I'm like literally dragging. She's throwing up.
That was damn bad.
We were a hot mess.
So it turns out that my brother, at the very same time, had the same ailment in his same hip, the right hip, proving that it's genetics, right? So now let's fast forward 3 years. I'm doing the same things. I'm on the bike every, a couple of times a week. I'm doing leg. I'm doing everything right. And I started to feel the same thing that you saw a couple of years ago in my leg. And when you have your hip starts to go on you, you actually feel it in like the quad and everything starts to tighten up. Mm. Then it starts keeping you up at night. And I have ignored it and ignored it and ignored it. Went to the doctor last week. He took that x-ray and he's like, let's get you in, man. So now I got to have a look at me. Look at me.
Jimmy's grandma is also getting a hip replacement. You guys want to go in for a two for one?
So pissed.
You and Bunker can go in together.
I'm so pissed.
Nothing you can do.
Trying to do it. That tennis pro was right.
Yeah.
What am I doing in there?
Wasting time.
That's it.
Get it. The Bird Show.
You know how little I know about wedding etiquette? Probably Mo as well. So little. But the golden rule when it comes to wedding that everybody knows, even toddlers, you don't wear white to somebody else's wedding.
The only person who should be wearing white is the bride.
So why does this keep coming up over and over and over again? Another email about this very thing.
Hello, Bert Show. I'm getting married this August to a wonderful man. He is truly amazing. And after 8 years together, we have decided to have the big, beautiful wedding. So all wedding festivities are coming rather fast, and I have a friend who we will call Amy. I have invited Amy to my bachelorette and bridal shower. Amy is also recently engaged and planning to get married 2 years from now. Anywho, I feel like my friendship with Amy is on the rocks. For other reasons that don't have to do with this wedding mess, I'm starting to think she only wants to be a part of the good stuff, or that maybe she is more selfish than I thought. I was told by another friend that Amy bought white boots to wear on our Vegas night out as we had planned a cowgirl theme. I honestly didn't think much of it. They're boots. I didn't think it was a big deal. But all my girlfriends said it was a big no-no, as I should be the only one wearing white. Okay, who cares? We'll move on. Well, I talked to Amy the other day, and we talked about the bridal shower, as it is a fiesta-themed shower, and Amy brought up that she was wearing a white blouse. I am normally not one to be catty or problematic, but was taken back by it. I vented to another friend about it and just told her, hey, I'm not sure if I'm overreacting, but if she's wearing white to the bridal shower and bachelorette, is this Amy trying to send me a message? She then told me that she talked to Amy and told her, hey, maybe you shouldn't wear white boots to the bachelorette, as the bride is the only one that's supposed to wear white. And Amy doubled down and said she really liked the white cowgirl boots. And our friend just told her she didn't think it was a good idea. Can Amy really be so oblivious to the whole no one wears white? I mean, would she like it if I acted this way when she has all her wedding festivities 2 years from now? So my dilemma is this. Do I talk to Amy myself, or do I just uninvite her to my wedding festivities? Or am I the one that's now turning into a bridezilla?
I feel like these weddings are a really good place for weeding out frenemies. This is calculated, right? It's the same thing we talked about last week. She knows. Everybody knows.
Yeah, I think the older I get, the more I'm hypersensitive to little, I don't know if you can call them microaggressions, but microaggressions that your friends who secretly harbor some resentment towards you, they start to lash out in these small ways that make you look crazy if you point them out, but deep down, like in some way, they're getting off on it. Like if she really is bitter about the fact that you're getting married before she is, maybe her way of sort of putting a salve over her bitterness is to wear white to all these different events.
I loathe these kind of people that know exactly what they're doing, right? And then when you finally call them out on it, they make you seem like the crazy one and they're offended by you actually calling out their behavior. Oh, I loathe them.
That is the definition of gaslighting.
Okay, there you have it.
It's a very popular term right now.
If I were in this situation as a woman, I would feel like I'm just uninviting you to my wedding. Because I don't feel like I would spend my time debating with you why this is wrong when literally everyone knows it's wrong.
To me, you're going to look like a bee if you uninvite her from all the festivities. And she's going to make you look crazy. She's going to go on a big smear campaign saying, well, she uninvited me just because I wanted to wear these white boots. And I could see how people on the outside would then start to think you look crazy.
She won't tell people that it's about the white boots. She'll totally lie about it. They're kind of cream color, but she was so over the top on it.
100%. So I think you keep her in the wedding festivities because nothing brings people together like a common enemy.
Oh.
So honestly, I think the fact that everybody has already clocked the fact that this is a little weird and is coming to you saying that they know that it's weird is just going to bring you guys closer together. And I have a feeling you and Amy are probably not going to be friends after this whole shebang.
I mean, maybe this is just a me thing, but like I would have no recollection if anyone wore something white to my bachelorette party or wore something white to my bridal shower. Now, I do remember distinctively I wore a white bikini in Vegas on our pool day and had like the sash and the whole thing or whatever. But I couldn't tell you what anybody else was wearing or if anybody else had something that was white.
Probably because they didn't. But if they did, you would remember.
Maybe.
To me, right? It's not the white boots. It's the white at the bridal shower. Because I have a pair of white cowgirl boots that I wear every now and then for like a bachelorette trip in Nashville. And if you're wearing an all black outfit and your boots are white, whatever. To me, a bridal shower is a little bit more intentional because there's no excuse. Wear literally any other color because you have more options.
So many colors to choose from.
So many.
There's a lot. What were we going to say, Kath?
I was just going to say nobody wore white to your stuff because you have good friends.
Right.
Who don't dislike
that you can trust. But this is clearly like She don't even want to be at that wedding.
No. She's harboring some bitterness, and she's taking it out using the white blouse and the white boots.
But she's getting married in 2 years. What's she got to be bitter about?
Well, you don't know. Because she won't speak up because she's harboring all this resentment. And clearly this is hitting a nerve with me. So. Just communicate why you're mad at me.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.